This is a fan-generated show. If you'd like to support us, please go to jamieglazov.com. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our new Rumble channel. All your support is greatly appreciated.
Good evening. Welcome to the Glazov Gang. Back with us this evening, Dr. Paul Cottrell of the studio Reykjavik.com. Dr. Cottrell, what an honor and pleasure to have you back on the Glazov Gang.
Thank you for having me.
Fantastic. Well, look, we didn't think that we had enough time last time. A lot of things to discuss. Fascinating program. The last time we suggest to our viewers to go back a couple episodes and you'll see Dr. Cottrell on our program. We discussed a lot of things, COVID, the vaccines, and including this horrifying potential scenario of the bad guys dropping, releasing an aerosolized airborne HIV and so many other things. Well, we want to get a little bit deeper into the issues, Dr. Cottrell, and there's a lot on the bioweapons issue. And I'm just going to hand it over to you. Why don't you just start where you feel like it, where you think we should begin in this second round?
Yeah, I think it's important to mention that that Congress, you know, are having hearings to discuss about what was going on at Wuhan, right? It happened yesterday, actually. And Samantha Powell was, you know, stating that she was not going to release important documentation proving that the United States government was funding research at Wuhan, and how that gain of function research that we talked about in the previous episode transpired through different conduits and everything. So I think that people need to realize that there's a long arc of bioweapon development when pertaining to SARS-CoV-1 and SARS-CoV-2, starting all the way back in 2001 was the first grant that took place from the NIH through Fauci to Dr. Barrick. Dr. Barrick did a lot of research on myocarditis in the 80s and the 90s, specific to beta coronaviruses. So fast forward to where we're at right now, we had a release or a series of releases that took place, and that the world has changed. We've had kind of like our, you know, post 9/11 moment, post COVID moment. Now we're moving into a post COVID era. And I think people need to realize that we have a government or a series of governments. It's not just the United States, but a series of governments that are doing bioweapon development. And that because there's an arms race that's taking place, we as citizens need to start talking to our representatives in government and say, we need to stop this. We need to hold the people accountable. And there needs to be investigations and hearings and trials. And if people are found guilty, they need to be dealt with accordingly. So, you know, I think it's, as citizens, we need to get up to the plate and start asking serious questions. For example, Rand Paul asked Samantha Powell's yesterday, you know, where's the documents? Well, she said, we gave the documents, but only to a select few committees that have intelligence, credentials. And this goes back to what we were saying in the previous episode about the national security state and how they are not really playing by the rules and telling Congress what they're doing, even though they're asking for money. So so people need to wake up and say, okay, we have a problem and we need to deal with it. The reason why I am so voiceful on this and taking huge personal career risks doing what I am doing to try and inform the public, all right, is because Barrick in his lab, Dr. Barrick, who's part of North Carolina research labs that have been dealing with SARS-CoV-2 and SARS-CoV-1 and Marburg, but he has capability in his lab. That is what I call the fourth and the fifth cocktail. everything that has happened so far that we call COVID is the third cocktail. That is benign, benign. The millions of people that have died is benign compared to what is still in the freezer, all right, with the fourth and the fifth cocktail. And so this is why people need to start realizing that there's two important paths that we need to understand here. The release of the fourth or fifth cocktail, which is SARS-CoV-2 with influenza, spiked with influenza, or SARS-CoV-2 spiked with HIV, all right? And how our civil liberties will radically change. It's not by accident, Jamie. It's not by accident that the moment that COVID happened and the first wave hit in New York, that HHS was so ready to start to curtail people's freedoms and to force vaccinations and to force quarantines and to force mask mandates and a track and trace, and how Bloomberg was helping, you know, develop you know, apps and provide money philanthropically to do track and trace.
Okay, Dr. Cottrell, just one second. Just let me try to just attempt a context here for a second. Bioweapons. I think that, look, it's a problem in our world in general. Let's say if Stalin and Hitler and Pol Pot have nuclear weapons and good guys don't. I think it might be a problem if Ayatollah Khomeini and the Saddam Husseins of the world, or, you know, Pol Pot again, whatever, if they have bioweapons and let's say good guys don't. There's somewhere here where in the United States, perhaps, that there needed to be some research or the development of bioweapons to some degree as a deterrent of some kind, or to prepare a defense or going to war with bad guys in the world, something like that. But when you've got bad people, globalists and these nefarious forces that now have, or, you know, these mad scientists that are pursuing totalitarian ends, if they capture power and they get into those labs and then they release these things on purpose to curtail our civil liberties and destroy the West, then we've got a problem. Is anything that I've said not correct? Do we want a world of no bioweapons on one side?
I think we want a world with no bioweapons on both sides. And, you know, that, you know, to use the kind, you know, this is a very complex issue that you bring up.
But how do we stop?
So I see your point that, you know, in a perfect world, in a utopic world, we don't want any bioweapons. The problem comparing nuclear weapons with bioweapons is that nuclear weapons doesn't change your gametes, and you know, and it passes it on to your children's children. All right. Mm-hmm. So we're changing the genetic code,
yes,
through this process, or can have that capability. All right. So that's much different than nuclear weapons.
Yes.
Two, it very important, you know, I was kind of hoping that we'd get into this discussion, is that in the post-COVID era, we need to start worrying about the longer term pathologies that are starting to pop up in clinic. That's the cancers, the AIDS.
One second, Dr. Cottrell, was there some legitimacy at one stage where bioweapons development was maybe legitimate at a certain time on the good guys' side?
If one want, it's not as simple as saying yes or no, Jamie.
Yeah.
All right. And, you know, and it's a very complex question you're bringing up. It's a great question you're bringing up. And it's a question that would take a couple hours to truly, fully answer. But the thing is that if you are doing research to understand how to solve diseases, right, that helps mankind. If you make a product that can help solve problems, right, for mankind, that's a great product. But a lot of times when you're working with DARPA, all right, such as Moderna works with DARPA, all of that science, all of that research has a weapon capability. And the United States has not been shy about this, about having spectral dominance in warfare. And they were not shy, especially right after 9/11, of ramping up their bioweapon defense capability. And that biodefense capability isn't just defense, it's offense. All right. So, you know, when we look at the players, Russia, United States, UK, Israel, Australia, China, those are the big ones. They're not the only ones, but they're the big ones. The one that is the most leading in terms of bioweapon development is the United States because of our vast resource capability, you know, money and research facilities and, you know, yada, 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 right? So we need to kind of like step back and go, we have a government, the United States has a government that is out of control, and it's not accountable to Congress anymore. And that's the national security state. Now, some people within, you know, people that watch this kind of show would say that's the deep state, all right? But there's terms that they have. It's not deep state. It's national security state, and they don't want it to be accountable to Congress. So that's the more important question to bring up. It's not so much should we have bioweapons because our enemy may have bioweapons. The bigger question is, do we have a runaway national security state doing false flags to be able to get more power?
And what's even scarier is, what if that national security state that's involved with bioweapons development is accountable to forces who are interested in depopulation, in world control, and setting up a one world government, right?
Right, right, right. This goes right back to our founding fathers in the United States. Right. It's representative government, accountability. Yeah. And when you have a national security state saying, well, because of for national security reasons, we can't tell you. Well, that was the reason why we got into Vietnam. That's the reason why, you know, a lot of different really nefarious things happen in American history, you know. And I think probably Oliver Stone, you know, with some of his documentaries, you know, did quite well in trying to show a light to the American public about true American history. And that that dark American history, at least in the modern times, is heavily weighted because of the problems that we have with the national security state. That's the FBI, the CIA, in modern terms, the TSA, the NSA, you know. So, you know, think people like.
I just want to interrupt for a second. Just want to interrupt for 1 second. Just to our viewers, and also just what I want to state is, we've discussed this as well. What Dr. Cottrell is saying, and or maybe I don't want to speak for you here, but all of this is not mutually exclusive with the fact that communism is not evil, that the North Vietnamese really did not pose a threat to democracy and freedom. The point here is that while the good guys are at war with the bad guys, there are other forces behind the scenes pulling a lot of strings.
Mm-hmm. And if it was just biodefense, or if it was even an offensive capability, then why was there so many social add-ons, what I call the BioPatriot Act, the track and trace, you know, the vaccine passport, the forced vaccinations, the, you know, the forced mandates on masks, curtailment of people's movement, you know, so especially in high density areas like New York. So, there were so many other elements that were well beyond the pale, right, of just national security defense kind of typical buckets, right? So, you know, this there's an orchestrated effort,
yes,
that's going on, that the national security state wants to abrogate the Constitution. Yeah.
Yes.
And you know, and basically have their own control, that our representative government doesn't matter anymore because of a larger good, you know. That's their philosophy. But you know, but to get back to your point here, you know, I'm not anti United States. Believe me, I'm not. I mean, my father's family immigrated to the United States in 1790. All right. That was when Washington was president. All right. And on my father's side, almost every major war they have fought in. All right. So, you know, and then my mother's side immigrated later. But the thing is that many people in my family, going all the way back to the Civil War for the Union side, fought for the United States. All right. And, you know, so, and many, you know, in recent history have served in the armed forces. So I'm as American as apple pie. All right. But the thing is that we have a national security state that is eroding the true essence of what America is. And, you know, causing things to happen in the world that is an existential threat to our livelihood. And that is the problem. So, you know, but I also want to bring up, you know, why it's so important, not just to talk about bioweapon development, but what the next wave of this is for SARS-CoV-2 and what I call the post-COVID era.
Dr. Cottrell. Yes, let's go just a sec. I just want to throw a couple puzzles into the thing because you've been very strong on and documenting, discussing this also on other programs. And I think it's deliberate. I think that there's a depopulation effort. I think on a spiritual level, there's also a war on humans. But with this vaccine, we see problems with eyes now. We see cancer, with fertility, all kinds of stuff. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So this is what I call the post-COVID era. So everyone was focused on just the acute phase where you get the respiratory infection or whatever, and you know, you may die from it, get pulmonary or cardiac problems. But there is a chronic or latent phase of this. And that is due to the vaccine, the virus, or the synergy of the two. All right. So in terms of COVID-I, I've known people that have had floaters, an excessive amount of floaters in both eyes, so bilateral floaters, right after, 2 weeks after contracting SARS-CoV-2. What is interesting is that certain areas of the body have kind of like an immune kind of barrier, blood-brain barrier, testicular barriers, right? It's kind of like a protective immune area where antibodies can't get in and cause like an autoimmune kind of disease. What is interesting is that Ebola also has a similar kind of manifestation. Once someone gets it and survives Ebola, they have something called Ebola eye. All right. So in COVID eye, it can manifest itself through floaters. It can manifest itself in retinopathies, and it can manifest itself in junctivitis. So, and this seems to be happening with the vaccine group. I have known someone that had COVID eye, but that was not due to the vaccine. It was due to contracting SARS-CoV-2. In terms of cardiac problems, you know, I think we mentioned it on your show, or maybe I mentioned it on another show, but we have barrier receptors at the aortic arch and in the carotids. And when your blood pressure, that's measuring your blood pressure, right? And it's sending signals to the medulla, and it's an area of your brainstem, and it's sending signals to pump the heart a certain way, all right? This is where it's controlling your parasympathetic and your sympathetic nervous system. Well, if that is inflamed because of the spike protein attaching to CD147 and causing an inflammatory response in those cells and those in that tissue, the barrier receptor isn't working correctly and therefore can't control your blood pressure and can't control the beat of the heart as well. And this is the reason why people that have long COVID are starting to see the tachycardia, and their parasympathetic isn't slowing down their heart. Your heart wants to pump, and you have a brake system to kind of try to slow it down. But if your brake, the nerve that is the brake system, is not working correctly, then what happens is the heart will go into tachycardia. So so you have that issue. You have the clotting issues of the endothelial area of the vessel, the blood vessel, can get inflamed and cause a coagulation cascade leading to blood. You know, we've heard all these clotting issues. I am more concerned about what I call AIDS-like syndrome, autoimmune disorders, similar to like GBS or the cancers I'm very worried about the cancers. And this can happen in both groups, the vaccinated group that didn't get SARS-CoV-2, the ones that didn't get vaccinated but had SARS-CoV-2, or this synergistic effect with both groups. That doesn't mean that everybody is going to have these problems, right? But as we move on, we're going to see more and more of these cases in clinic, and that doctors, nurses are going to have to start seeing and catching this and treating this. And we are in a new era. We're not in a textbook era anymore. We are moved into a non-textbook era when coming, you know, up with this, because it's a new dynamic. It's a new set of pathologies that are taking hold. Dementia is also another one. Now the question is it, there's many different probably reasons for this. I suspect that the dementia and some of the brain fog that is happening is either ischemic, meaning that the blood flow isn't working correctly, and you're getting less blood flow and neurons are starting to die, or this kind of an amyloid buildup of plaque, a little bit different than Alzheimer's, but it's called amyloidosis. So that's another pathology that one has to worry about. But yeah, getting to the cancers, the medical community is not paying attention to this. SARS-CoV-2 has different protein. It's not just the spike, the S protein, the spike protein. The spike protein is the key, right? It's the key, and it can do some other things internally in the cell, right? But there are other proteins in the virus that are non-structural proteins, the NSPs, and the ORFs, the open reading frame proteins. They can change the epigenetics of a cell, all right? NSP8 and NSP5 can change the epigenetics of a cell. A cell is methylated and acetylated, all right? It's told, depending on the tissue during development, what gene should be turned on, what gene should be turned off. When you disrupt that, you're turning on and turning off genes that shouldn't be, right? And in some cases, you could be turning off tumor suppressor genes or turning on oncogenes. And when that happens, your tumor suppressing pathways are disrupted that will lead to cancers. And this is part of the reason why we're starting to see an uptick in cancers, in certain types of cancers. And the ones that are being caught, they're being caught at a much more aggressive level, like the term turbo cancer, right? Mm. So when the epigenetics are changing, or some of these proteins, these NSPs and ORFs, can interact with proteins that are actually in the cytoplasm that turn off the tumor suppressor capability of that cell. And over time, that cell can turn cancerous. Now, people would say, well, that must be just for the vaccine. That must be for just the viral group. And if someone had the vaccine, then they're safe. Wrong. When someone gets the vaccine, the way the tumors could happen is primarily two ways. One is that the code within the vaccine can actually integrate into the genome through human line one. It's been shown that this can be integrated in pieces of, it could be the full sequence or pieces of it. So it can be fractured and then be integrated randomly. Now, if it disrupts an important protein, such as a tumor suppressor protein, then you have a problem. And that is that cell can't fight off cancer as well, and could go down the cancerous route. On top of that, it's been found that the spike protein or the S1 subunit that's actually in the vaccine can disrupt DNA repair mechanisms, which if you are disrupting the DNA repair mechanisms as the cell is dividing, it's not able to correct mistakes. Well, if you have the right mistake, it can lead down a cancerous road. So this is the point that I'm making here is just that by not shutting down bioweapon labs and not having Congress fully investigate what was going on, right? We are not only opening up Pandora's box for the fourth and fifth cocktail, but we are moving towards a new era of the shockwave of what just happened in 2019, 2020, 21, 22, right? This shockwave is going to be seen in clinic, in the hospitals, in, you know, in different care facilities. So I think the population needs to understand that it's not just the vaccine group. It's not just the viral group. It's both.
It's both. And Dr. Cottrell, what's very frightening is we have the puppet masters behind the scenes that a lot of people just don't want to believe exist, but it's just become very evident. But let me just state two, three things, and then I'll give it to you how you want to handle this. I just find it very creepy that somebody like Fauci said well, there's going to be a problem with a virus during the Trump administration. He said this before COVID. Then, you know, they're talking to Gates a little while ago. They're like, what do you think about people not taking the pandemic seriously? And he goes, oh, they're going to take the next one seriously. You know, then we know, as I think you've discussed this as well, Barrick and Xi, they released this paper in 2015, if I'm correct, mentioning there would be an outbreak in the Middle East with MERS, if I'm correct. They somehow know all these things are happening in the future. In my view, it's because they do know, because they're part of some kind of planning committee. I'll just throw this on top of things. If Hillary would have won in 2016, do you think all of this would have happened differently and the time schedule would have been different for what these terrible people are up to? Go ahead.
Well, they are definitely working on a time schedule that's been laid out. All right. But because there's a feedback loop of things that happen in the world, it gets modified. All right. If Hillary Clinton won the presidency in 2016, I think there was high probability that MERS or SARS would have been dropped in Syria in probably 2018 or 2017. The reason I say this is that we got to go back to Clark. Remember General Clark? He was stating, you know, he walks into the Pentagon and he's going, what are we doing? And he goes, well, there's a big plan to just start knocking out all these Middle Eastern countries. Well, why? Were they part of 9/11? No, because someone wants to do it, right? See, there is a plan out there to control certain types of resources, control certain pieces on the chessboard. I think that what was happening is the scientific community was signaling that, well, we have this potentiality that something's going to happen in the Middle East with MERS in 2015. All right. You got to remember, those are the same people that actually made SARS-CoV-2. All right. And by doing that, you will be able to get research dollars and defense money for further capability for your lab. And you'd be able to publish papers, you go to the conferences, you get famous. That's how it works, all right? Especially when you work for defense, all right? To answer your question, I think that it would have been different. SARS-CoV-2 probably would not have been dropped in 2019 in China. SARS-CoV-2 or MERS, most likely MERS, would have been dropped in Syria, probably in 2017 or 2018. Ukraine probably wouldn't have happened. And I don't think we would have withdrawn from the Middle East. I think the part of that withdrawal from the Middle East was really through Trump not re-engaging in Syria, not re-engaging in Iraq, not re-engaging in Afghanistan. The pullout during Biden was a fiasco. I think Trump had a plan for the pullout that was much better than what Biden did. And it's not a mistake that right after we get out of Afghanistan, the Pentagon's scratching their head, where are we going to make the money? Right? So it goes to Ukraine. So, I think that the timeline was more focused on the Middle East, control the oil resources, and to circumvent Russia by building the pipeline through Syria. And that pipeline would feed into Europe, and they wouldn't need Nord Stream. So this whole play that was going on during Bush Jr.'s presidency was a plan to control those resources to circumvent Russia to be able to feed energy to Europe and to be able to kind of crush the economic capability of Russia. And it's been we've been playing we've been doing the Cold War has not ended. The Cold War did not end with the Berlin Wall falling down. It's been ongoing since. So but I'm not pro-Russia either. I don't want people to think that, but I do think that we have a defense department. We have a national security state that is in perpetual war. And every American citizen is paying for that through their taxes and through their sons and daughters serving in the military. There's nothing wrong with serving in the military. I mean, many people in my family have served in the military. But I do think that the national security state is throwing away our taxpayer dollars and throwing away the blood of our people.
Absolutely. And the national security state seems to be making its move right now. It's just something's going on. We see these train derailments, all these strange things happening with cattle. Definitely something's happening with our food supply. We can sense that the American dollar, bad's going to happen soon. The banks, all of Something's happening on the horizon, isn't it, where we can picture that we're going to be starving on many levels, and then some kind of globalist messiah will come forward to save us, but it will come with a chip that we have to insert in our body or temporarily have in our phone or something like that's going on, right?
Well, I think that we have infrastructure that's being targeted by sleeper cells, right? And I think that these sleeper cells are embedded in the national security state. Probably what is happening is just that they're contractors from special ops. So we have a lot of special operators that have been trained in the military that have retired. And, they still have the desire to make money, so they're kind of like paid operatives. So I wouldn't be surprised that certain aspects of our infrastructure are being targeted by these sleeper cells that are embedded within the national security state. I saw on Bloomberg an article recently. It was either today or yesterday. I heard that one of our gunpowder facilities was targeted, that it was on fire, and it's one of the major manufacturers of gunpowder for the military. Well, that to me sounds like that's targeted. Certain aspects of the train derailment seems to be a targeted problem. mean, I lived in Michigan, born and raised in Michigan, and then moved to New York in 2008. But back in the Gulf War, the train systems were always moving Abram tanks and, and different military equipment during the early 90s along train tracks that were in Michigan because of General Dynamics and GM. So, it's not, it does seem as though our infrastructure is being targeted. Our livestock, our foodstuffs are seems to be targeted also. So I think what it is the same play that happened at after 9/11. Scare people, disrupt their finances, and they will capitulate and give up their civil liberties. So that's the I think that's the play. I think the overarching theme here is that there's a group of people out there that have decided that it's not going to be an America 21st century. It's going to be a Chinese 21st century. And they are positioned in a way to make money on that. Like, for example, this is a small example of this. BlackRock, big financial firm, right? Invest billions, hundreds of billions, maybe $1 trillion, I don't know, but lots of money into the market, right? So they create these little like nonprofits or info companies, right, to try to change the perspective of the population on energy. So they're pushing a green energy policy, wind, solar, non-fossil fuel, all right? This the reason being is that they're moving a lot of money into ETFs and in certain companies that will benefit if we move away from fossil fuels. Well, you remember in the news when we start hearing, especially in New York, well, they're gonna stop natural gas stoves and natural gas water heaters, right? Because it might give people asthma. Yet they won't regulate the vapors that are out there cause that vaping is way more worse in terms of asthma for children than anything that's coming out of a gas stove. So, but it was found that who was paying for those ads was BlackRock. So it's not just the national security state. You have an apparatus around the national security state that is tied into big finance. So, and these people aren't just moving money in the United States, they're controlling money globally. They're controlling different currencies. They're controlling bond markets. So it's a so I think what is happening is that you have a group of players that have tentacles into the national security state that will benefit from the demise of America. In their mind, they think the demise of America and the rise of China will give them a better return on their portfolio in the next 20 years. And they don't care what the ramifications are. They don't understand that people need to protect that document. And that document is our Constitution. It is precious. It needs to be protected.
Yeah, and I know you're being
Doesn't mean a hill of beans.
and in part you're being re and in part you're just being a little bit rhetorical when you say they don't understand, just to make a very good point, because as both of us know, Dr. Cottrell, with some of the individuals, they know very well what they're doing because malice is at the root of this, right?
No, I right, right, no, right, 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 right. I probably should have rephrased it and said that they don't care. It's not that they don't understand, but they, but the point is that money and power is more important than the protection of the Constitution and the civil liberties that the United States. I mean, we are the last vestige of freedom in this world. If we lose that, this whole the world will be in a tyrannical era. For hundreds of years, not 10 years, not 20 years, hundreds of years.
Yes,
So,
and
hey, go ahead.
go ahead.
Well, you know, but the, you know, and this is the reason why I keep on saying, you know, we need to shut down these labs. We need to start understanding what the after effect is from COVID. Because we're not out of the crisis. Because the next thing that happens is going to be another chip away from our, no pun intended, but another chip away, you know, of our civil liberties. And we, you, if we don't stand up now, we're, it's going to be a lot harder when the fourth or fifth cocktail happens, or when it's a very high probability, Jamie, very high probability that around 2025, which is not that far away, we're going to be in a major war over Taiwan. Mm-hmm. That is a biblical war. I mean, like how we're going to, the earth has never seen a war like that. I mean, Ukraine is nothing, right? I mean, you were talking about Vietnam in another episode. That was nothing. What is going to be transpiring if we go toe-to-toe with China is nothing that has been seen on this planet ever. Mm-hmm. At the veracity of the war. So people need to like go, well, wait a minute, like what's going on here? Do we really need to go down this road?
Dr. Cottrell, we just have a couple minutes left here. I just want to continue giving you the stage just in these last couple minutes. And I know this sounds absurd with me asking you what's mostly on your mind, because that's a million things in another 6 hours. But just in the last couple minutes, I just want to give you the floor so you can feel at least a little bit fulfilled in getting really what's on your mind out right now. Go ahead, just in our last few minutes, talk to our audience.
Well, I think it's very important to be an engaged citizen. And I'm talking to the world at large, all right? Countries need engaged citizens to protect their civil liberties. Now, the ones that are listening there in America, we are on the verge of losing our constitutional freedoms because of this national security state. And if we don't get on the phone and tell a representative, what are you doing to shut down the bioweapon capability that is going on in the United States? And what are you doing to make sure that we have some sort of global agreement that there is not going to be biological proliferation? We did it for nuclear weapons. We can do it for biologics. But what's even more important is shine a light on this 40-year arc of the national security state and how we need to stop funding it, because they will never stop with their capability and they will continue to erode our civil liberties.
And they've become an enemy of the American Constitution.
That's right. That's right. George Bush Jr., all right, stated after 9/11 that he wanted to throw away the Constitution because of preventing him from doing certain things that he thought he should be doing in a post 9/11 world. And, you know, in a modern context, that is criminal, you know, the things that he wanted to do. And we are continuing that criminal activity all the way to 2023. We need to stop it. We need representatives that aren't just asking questions, getting sound bites on CNN or Fox News or others, you know, smaller media outlets, but people that are actually solving problems. And, you know, I fear for the children that are young and the unborn going into an era where they don't have the same opportunities that you and I had.
Very scary times. Dr. Paul Cottrell, thank you for being a brave truth teller in our world today and making an effort trying to shine the light on all of these dark forces, because we're not going to find any of this in the media. For instance, Dr. Cottrell, have you been invited on The View, on, well, Don Lemon's gone now, but Anderson Cooper, Rachel Maddow, on Fox News? I mean, does even one cable company or show channel invite you to talk about these things?
Actually, CCTV reached out to me in the early days, in the early days. And then when they start, because I was saying and had proof that the CDC was lying on some of the cases that were being said, because I had individuals reaching out to me stating that what they were seeing in the hospital and those cases were not being recorded by the CDC. So some of the Chinese news stations that are affiliated in Washington, D.C., they wanted that information, but they realized that I wasn't just on the CDC. I was also saying that the cases that were going on in Wuhan were being lied about.
Yeah, Dr. Cottrell, if
it was much higher than what they were saying, and they decided not to interview me.
I cannot picture you being invited anywhere by anyone on cable, but Tucker Carlson was capable of doing it soon, in my opinion. Somebody like you, or he dares to go there. And I think that's one of the reasons that they got rid of him. What do you think?
I think that he was asking some really pertinent questions.
Yeah.
And he knew the answers. He wasn't just asking questions. He knew where this was going. He's a smart guy. All right.
Yeah.
And he was saying, well, wait a minute, there's a national security state component to this, and there's the lobby groups and the multinationals that don't really care about constitutional freedom. All they care about is really the dollar or some sort of currency that's making them wealthy. So, and he was going right after that, and that included the advertisers.
Yeah.
I mean, Pfizer is a major advertiser. And this is the reason why CNN wouldn't go after them.
Crazy. Dr. Paul Cottrell, we got to go. All good things must come to an end, like a great discussion with Dr. Cottrell. Everybody should visit you at the-studio-reykjavik.com. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
And on Twitter?
Yeah, you can get me on Twitter. It's Dr_Cottrell. And I have 6 different channels. I have 3 channels on YouTube. It's either Paul Cottrell or Dr. Paul Cottrell, depending on which channel you're looking at. And then I'm on Rumble, BitChute, and Brighteon. The Rumble, BitChute, and Brighteon are videos that stay up, that you can see. That
YouTube goes down within 3 seconds.
YouTube is, I'm heavily censored on YouTube, so the content that you're going to see that is more modern is going to be through premieres only, and then they're taken down.
Terrible stuff. Thank you for coming on the Glazov Gang. We hope you'll come back on soon.
Yes, thank you for having me.
And keep up the fight, my friend. Thank you for watching the Glazov Gang this evening. Make sure you're checking out Dr. Paul Cottrell at thestudioreykjavik.com and on all his channels with his shows. We'll see you soon. Good night.